Don't let that happen. I don't think that that was a message just for somebody in a video, you guys. I think that's a message for you. Don't let that happen. Some of you still are struggling with the choice. Seriously, you're still struggling with the choice of giving yourself over to a king who died for you, gave up his life for you, in order for you to stay on the throne. Knowing that even you staying on the throne, even if you could stay on the throne, there's no way you can run your life as good as God. But knowing that you're not really on the throne, the king that you really have is just fooling you and letting you think you are. Sin. Don't let that happen, you guys. It's a sad story. There's no good ending at this, you guys. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. We're going to look at two places. 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and then Romans chapter 6. So if you're only going to go to one place, go to Romans 6. We were there a couple days ago, but we're going to go there again. But I want you to see 1 Chronicles chapter 10. 1 Chronicles, we've been in 1 Samuel, but 1 Chronicles is another version of the same history. It's just another history of what happened with Saul. And so we're going to pick it up here because it says something in 1 Chronicles that it doesn't say in 1 Samuel. But what you pretty much saw there in the video is what happened. Samuel dies. And then Saul, as he continues to just be obsessed with David, still has this struggle with the Philistines. And he wants to know what he's supposed to do. So instead of going to Theos, instead of going to God, he decides to go to a witch or medium. And then even when he goes to the witch, he doesn't go to the witch and say, hey, can you ask Theos what Theos wants me to do? He asks for Selah, another person, to ask what he needs to do. And that was kind of the last straw. That was the last chance that God was going to give Saul. And it's true, when Samuel actually shows up and tells Saul that he's going to die in battle the next day. And that's exactly what happened. Guys, in verse 13, 1 Chronicles 13, just look at this for a second, and we're going to go on and hopefully show how we can maybe not live the same way as Saul. It says, Saul died, and it says why? Because he was unfaithful to the Lord. You got it. Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord. And then look what it says, and even consulted a medium or a witch for guidance. That he even, the way it says it, you guys, is kind of like this. It really kind of shows that God actually had a lot of patience with Saul. I mean, even though Saul blew it and blew it and blew it and blew it and did horrendous things, it's almost as if God is there, the way it's written here, is God was there still going, I'm waiting for you, Saul. Will you just turn your life over? You've wasted a lot of it, and you've caused a lot of pain, and sin has caused a lot of damage, but I still will accept you. And at the very end, he still goes. He has another chance to go to God. And he goes, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to go to a witch instead. So he's unfaithful, didn't obey God, and he even goes, consults his medium, and is that like that's the last straw. And he did not inquire of the Lord. You see that in verse 14. He didn't go to God. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. So God killed him. Sad. In the video, you guys, it's kind of interesting, the video. Did you notice? And it doesn't say in the Bible that this actually happened, but it's kind of a neat thought that maybe in the middle, you know, like Saul is facing his death, and he kind of does the whole reviewing his whole life, right? Almost like, did you notice in the video, it's like, well, what if I just would have done this instead of this? You know, like there's a certain crossroads in his life, right? Of like obeying God or not. And he kind of went back in his mind going, man, if I just would have done this instead of, if I just would have handed my life over to God and trusted him in these different areas, it would have turned out different. And that's exactly right. We have tons of crossroads in our lives. You guys have faced crossroads in the past where maybe you've gone, oh, if I just would have done this instead of this. We can't do anything about the past ones, right? We can't. But I will guarantee this, you guys, I guarantee it. When you go home, there's going to be another crossroad. There are still many crossroads for you. I don't know how many, but there are still crossroads for you in the future. One of those crossroads was this week. Honestly, on Tuesday night, when some of you said, I'm going to give up my life to God, some of you were reminded about the time that you did, and some of you honestly said, no, I'm not. And on that crossroads, some of you went this way, and some of you are continuing to go this way. And you'll have another crossroad to make a decision, and another one, and another one. What about the future ones? Especially for all of you, I'm talking to all of you who have given your life over to Jesus. I said last night, like, hey, before we go on and talk about how you can have victory over sin in the future, let's talk about some sin in your life right now, right? That's what we did yesterday. But tonight, you guys, I do want to tell you, like, as you go home, I want to give you something that I learned. It's just something I learned. I hope it helps you. It's a tool that I came up with that I think is based on what God's word says. We'll look at that. But it's some way that I think you'll learn, like I have, to how to walk in victory a lot more than we have in the past. If you are sick of just continuing to sin, then this is for you. If you're going, I want things to be different, I want to grow, I want to live like I really am, I want to live like a child of God, I don't want to just be one, I want to live like a child of God, I don't want to just be a slave of God, I want to live like a slave of God, then this is for you. If you're taking notes, I would love it if you would just open up your notebook, whatever you have, if you have paper, if you have two places that you can take notes on, I would love it if you choose two papers. You're gonna draw a circle and then another circle. If you only have one page that you're putting notes, then make sure you draw as big a circle as you can on the top of the page and as big a circle as you can on the bottom of the page. But that's what we're gonna start with. I'm just gonna give you a little diagram of something that helped me. And as you do that, go ahead and still turn to Romans chapter 6. We're gonna end up there, Romans chapter 6. What we looked at a couple days ago, which showed us that we're different now. Romans chapter 6, and draw two circles, either one on two different pages or one above each other as big as you can, because you're going to be writing some words around this circle. So imagine that circle is kind of like a clock. So at 12 o'clock on the first circle, 12 o'clock, write down, I'm tempted. Okay, or I'm tempted by sin, but I'm tempted. If you're going, I'm tempted, I know what that means. I'm tempted to sin. Great, I'm tempted. Which happens all the time, right? We always have decisions like Saul did. We are always gonna continue to come to crossroads. Those are the crossroads where we're tempted, and now what are we gonna do with that temptation? Could be a temptation from friends, could be a temptation from outside of us, could be a temptation from within us. It's just our own selves that are tempting us, but it's that we're tempted to act a certain way, speak a certain way, think a certain way, or live a certain way. That's not the way that God wants us to live, think, do, or say. So I'm tempted. At 3 o'clock, write this down. I end up sinning. At 3 o'clock, write down, I end up sinning. Which some of us can really relate to. If you drew an arrow from 12 o'clock now on the circle, and you kind of put just a little arrow there, like on the line of the circle to 3 o'clock, say, like I'm tempted, then the arrow kind of goes down to I end up sinning. I think a lot of us can relate to that, right? And it's only a matter of time. It could be like 1 second. It could be like 5 minutes. It could be a day. We can fight it for a while, but some of you guys relate. You fight it and fight it and fight it, but what eventually happens, you guys? We end up sinning. Then at 6 o'clock, and again, maybe make that line into like an arrow now. At 6 o'clock, eventually what we do, because we understand that sin isn't really a part of the life that we live. We looked at it last night, how serious sin is. And you're like, oh my goodness, this is serious. This is affecting my relationship with God, as if it's any sin. Any sin does that. Every sin brings death. That eventually we go, I confess that sin. So write that down. I confess that sin. And now we know what confession is, right? I agree with God about it. We eventually say, this really is sin. This is a really big deal. And it's all my fault. This is really sin. This is a really big deal. And it's all my fault. And could I just, hey, you guys in the front right here, hey, right there. I know you guys are kind of just talking with each other, but you're kind of distracting some other people that are trying to listen. So could you guys just, if you want to doodle on your own, but don't bother anybody else, okay? Cool, thanks. Okay, so You end up sinning, then you say, I confess that sin, right? Then the next step at 9 o'clock on that circle, so maybe it's another arrow kind of keeps going around the circle. At 9 o'clock, write down my relationship with God is restored. You might write down I'm forgiven, but I like that better because it's like, wow, I have a healthy relationship with God now. God doesn't hold that sin against me at all if I truly confess it. So my relationship with God is restored. Then, if you keep going around the circle, though, where do you finally get up? Where do you finally end up at 12 o'clock again? I'm tempted, right? Because sin is still around. It's not like you're never tempted just once, and then that's it. That's one temptation in your entire life. Your life is filled with temptation. At least mine is. So eventually, I'm tempted again. Now, here's kind of how the process goes. I'm tempted. It can happen all the time, whatever it is. And it's only a matter of time before I end up sinning. Again, 5 minutes, an hour, a day, a week, whatever it is, I end up sinning. Then the other part of the circle from I end up sinning to confession, that can also be either a really short time or a long time, depending upon how stubborn I am. You know, I really like this sin. I'm not going to confess. I don't think it's a big deal, whatever. We talked about it last night, like with Saul and stuff. And hopefully you get to a point where you confess it, because if you don't, it's always going to be a problem. But you go, you know what? Eventually, might be a second afterwards, might be a day afterwards, might be a week afterwards, whatever else. You finally end up confessing. Now, here's the awesome part. From that 6 o'clock to that 9 o'clock, that happens immediately. God doesn't go, let me think about it for a day. I'll get back to you. What? As soon as we confess, true confession that we talked about last night, as soon as you confess any sin, I don't care how small it is, I don't care how big it is, I don't care how severe you think it is, I don't care how severe you don't think it is, I don't care how many times you have a problem with this sin. It doesn't matter, you guys. At the end of chapter 5 in Romans, it says that we can never out-sin God's grace, ever. That's awesome. So I'm immediately forgiven and my relationship with God is restored. In fact, I think I told you last night that when I go to God with that same sin again, because I still am feeling guilty about it, or I'm feeling like, oh man, it's still, God actually says, I don't know what you're talking about. I've forgotten about it. Forgiveness with God, man, he's really good at forgetting too. Really good. And we struggle with forgiveness way more than God does. You know what I mean? Like forgiving ourselves. But God forgives us. But the thing is that it might be 1 second after that. It might be a day after that. It might be 5 minutes after that. We're tempted again. And then eventually we go through that circle again. Anybody here relate to that? Anybody? Yeah, okay, good. I'm not the only one. Okay. And this is what I thought my life was like. This is what I thought it was like, you guys, that this would circle, this cycle would be the rest of my life until I die and go to heaven. I am tempted. I'm going to eventually sin. I confess that sin. He forgives me. I'm tempted. I eventually sin. I confess that sin. He forgives me. I'm tempted. I confess the sin. I sin. I confess the sin. He forgives me. Which is great. Again, you can't go through that so many times that God says, that's it. You went through 100 times, I'm done. He never does that. But at the same time, do you kind of feel like, is that it? Like, is that it? I don't feel like I'm really going somewhere. I feel like I'm just struggling with the same sin over and over again. And is that really my whole life? In fact, in the middle of that circle, write this as kind of a title of it. Right in the middle of the circle, write down the forgiveness cycle. The forgiveness cycle. That's what that cycle is. Which is really good news, but really, is that it? I'm gonna tell you guys, I didn't know this for the longest time. I didn't know there was another circle. I actually didn't know there was another option. I didn't know that God actually wanted me to actually live a different kind of cycle than that one. Guys, honestly, and if you wanna write this underneath for forgiveness cycle, it's plan B. It's not plan A. Write down, so you got forgiveness cycle in the middle of that circle, right under that, write down plan B. Plan B. There's another one that's plan A. Turn to the other circle And in the middle of this circle, we're kind of going a little backwards here, but in the middle of that circle, write this down. The victory cycle. Does that sound a little bit better than the forgiveness cycle? It is. Way better. The victory cycle. And underneath that, write down plan A. I'm going to tell you guys plan A with God. What's interesting is that most Christians are living their lives on plan B. And I'm not talking about just students, you guys. All the adults here could probably say, yeah, this is pretty much what a lot of Christians live their life with, is plan B. Is there really a plan A? Yeah, there is. It starts off the same way. At 12 o'clock, write down, I'm tempted. On the second one. Starts off the exact same way. Because sin doesn't go away. One day, sin will go away. But sin is still alive and well, you guys. Remember when we went to Jesus Christ and we gave our life to him, somebody died. Did sin die? Who died? Me. I died. I was buried. I was risen as a new person. I changed. Sin hasn't changed. One day God will take care of sin, but right now it's still doing whatever it's always done. I get tempted. There's the first thing. The second, when you now we're going to start changing a little bit. Have the arrow go down now to 3 o'clock. And at 3 o'clock, write down this. I remember what I am. You could write down, I remember my identity. I remember what I am. Do you remember a couple days ago, you guys, when we looked over our identity? Remember we talked about our identity? Guys, what you think you are really affects how you act, how you live. We have got to, in that moment, when we're tempted, I think a lot of people, when they're tempted, they go, well, man, I'm going to struggle with this, but I know I'm just a slave of sin. I know I'm just a sinner. I know that I'm never going to be able to, so I'm eventually going to sin. You know, well, you're never going to have victory if that's what you think, ever. The first step in going, I can have victory on this, is to actually realize that you actually can have victory. You're not a slave of sin anymore. So when I say, like, I remember what I am, it's like what we went over already in chapter 6. I'm not going to read it again, but remember those first few verses that talks about how you died, you were buried, you were risen, you have a new life. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm a child of God. A child of God doesn't act this way. The way I'm being tempted right now, if I did this or said or spoke this way or acted this way or lived this way, that's not how a child of God lives. That's not how a slave of God would live. That's how a slave of sin would live. And that's not me anymore. Now remember, that's not the only thing you do. We're only at 3 o'clock. But that's important to do. Okay, you got it? So start renewing your mind, you guys. Start just reminding yourself, hold it, that's not what I am. I'm not a slave to this sin. There is another way. And the other way is at 6 o'clock. I remember what I am, and I'm going to give you the first part of this, okay? The first part, and then I'll give you the second part. So don't put a period at the end of it, maybe a comma, you put a comma at this, but this is what I want you to write. I don't give myself to sin. I don't give myself to sin. Put a comma. The reason why I'm having to put a comma is because I'm going to talk to you about my own kind of way that I tried to defeat sin in my life. And it sounds really good, but it doesn't really work. I had that first part down. In fact, now, if you guys at Romans 6, Romans 6, if you remember, we left off a couple of days ago at verse 11. And after it talks about how Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead, it says, in the same way, in verse 11, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Remember what you are now. I'm alive to God. I'm dead to sin. That's what I am. Then he says in verse 12, therefore, that's like the 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock now. Therefore, since you're not a slave of sin anymore, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. So right there in verse 12, it says, so since this is what you are, don't keep giving yourself over to sin so that you obey it anymore. Stop doing that. Guys, I read that verse and I went, okay, got it. I'm going to fight sin now. I'm going to decide when sin tempts me, I'm going to remember, hold it, I'm not a slave of sin. You can't tell me what to do anymore. So I'm going to say no to you. And it's like as if God was standing over here and I was doing this. God, I know I'm your child. Watch this. I got it now. I am going to conquer sin for you because I love you so much. I'm not going to let sin reign over me. I'm not going to let sin rule over me. I'm not going to let sin fool me anymore. Watch this. Okay, sin, I'm not going to let you do anything to me anymore. And sin again, we looked at this a couple days ago. Sin is over here going, if it was a person, it would be going, really, PJ? You think you're that powerful, huh? And I'm over here going, yeah, I'm not a slave of sin anymore. Give it to me. And you know what? He gives it to me. And sin clobbers me. Because here's the deal, you guys. Remember, nothing has changed about sin. Do you remember how powerful sin is? Do you remember? How powerful is it? Second most powerful thing in the universe. And PJ is not the first most powerful thing. And neither are you. See, the problem is, you guys, some of us are trying so hard not to sin anymore because we want to please God so much. It's a great, honestly, you guys, I love the attitude, but it's the wrong strategy. I don't care how much you don't want to sin. If you're going to try to handle sin on your own, you will always lose. Always. Guys, we are never, ever, ever going to be independent. We're always going to be a slave of somebody. Knowingly or unknowingly, that's just the way it is. We're made that way. We're made to be dependent. So if I independently try to conquer sin and I go, God, watch me. I'm going to do this for you. Okay, sin, I'm going to handle you. I'm going to say no to you. If I try not to do it, being dependent, I will end up being dependent upon something. And if I'm not dependent upon God in that moment, I'm going to end up dependent on the only other option I have, which is what? Sin. It's just going to happen. So when I read this verse, and you're like, behold it, the verse says, therefore don't let sin reign in your mortal body, so you like, don't let that happen. I mean, it says it right there. You know what I forgot to do, you guys? I forgot to read the next verse. And then I finally read the next verse, and it changed everything. Do you see what the next verse says in verse 13? It says, don't offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. What's the next words? Do you see it? But rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. I only had half of it down. I was saying no to sin, but I forgot that in that moment, I'm also supposed to be saying yes to God. I was saying I don't want sin to reign over me, but I wasn't saying I want God to reign over me in this moment instead. Don't let sin reign over you, but rather, give every part of yourself to God in that moment. Everything you are, give it to God in that moment. Because you guys, there's only one being that can defeat sin. Not you or me, it's God. And it says if God is over here going, PJ, what are you doing? You're trying to conquer sin on your own? You're not even built that way. I'm the only one who can conquer sin, and I want to do it through you. But you've got to hand your life over to me in this moment for me to do that. You ever prayed about the sin that you struggle with? You ever do that? I did too. I prayed all about it all the times that I wasn't facing it. Isn't that crazy? I would say amen to the prayer. Don't say amen. Just keep praying it. And when you're facing it, go right into a moment of prayer. God, I can't handle this. I need to hand my life over to you. I'm going to give it all to you. I'm not going to just say no to sin. I am going to do, okay, no sin, but yes, God. I got to turn around and just look at you. I just want to think about you. I just want you to control me right now. And you know what happened when I was doing that? The opportunity to sin left. It was over. Because the entire time, I was totally thinking about just giving everything I am to God in that moment. For some of us, we're going, PJ, I don't even think about it. I mean, you're talking about like really strategizing and thinking about it. Like when I'm tempted to be angry, I don't even think about it. I just get angry. That's the problem. But when you're tempted to say something, think something, do something that's different than how God wants you to say, do, or think, will you start just starting getting in the habit of going, hold it, I got to step back here. I got to pray right now in this moment. I got to, God, take my life right now. I'm really tempted to do this. And if without you, I know I'm going to. So please just keep taking my life. And you look up and the temptation's still there. Take it. Keep taking it. Keep taking it. And you continue to give your life over to him in that moment, you guys. It takes, honestly, for some of us, it takes a big habit to break because we don't think about it. And then afterwards, we just confess the sin. But there's a better way. There's a better way because God and his Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And he's just waiting for you to hand your life over to him in that moment for you not to sin. Some of you have done it accidentally. Maybe you've gone, I actually have done that. I just never thought it was a victory cycle. I mean, in the moment, I'm like facing this thing. I'm like, God, you know what? This time, I just don't want to do it. God, will you please just take my life right now? And seriously, and you're like, wow, I didn't sin in that moment. So after the comma, instead of just saying, don't just say, I don't give in to sin. Now put comma, I give myself to God. All of myself in that moment to God. I remember what I am. I'm a child of you, God. This sin doesn't match up. This sin will destroy. This sin will give me death. This sin will wreck our relationship. It's going to make it unhealthy. I don't want that. I just want you. So I'm going to think just about you right now. And I'm going to hand my life over to you. And guess what happens at 9 o'clock? Go to the arrow to 9 o'clock and write this down. I don't sin. I don't sin. If you honestly do it, you guys, I'm telling you, you won't sin in that moment. Now, let me ask you this. When that happens, do you think this happens? Hey, I didn't sin. Hey, God, you see what I did? That was awesome, huh? I'm getting pretty good. You think that happens? Yeah. No. No, because I just sinned if that happens. It's called pride. You know what I do? Because I understand how I have victory now, you guys, you know what I do? I look at the sin, I go, I didn't sin. God, thank you so much. There's no way I could have done that without you. It's all you. It's all you. See how different it is? It's all God. Now, here's kind of the challenging thing. You follow that circle to 12 o'clock, and what happens again? I'm tempted. And that temptation might be the exact same temptation that you just got over. And it might be 5 seconds later, and you're like, here we are again. I thought I got over this. God, I'm giving you my life again. Here. And you guys, you just keep doing it. And you keep doing it. That's plan A. Plan B, by the way, is still important. Let me tell you why. Because there's going to come a time when you don't go through plan A, right? You're going to go, you know what? I kind of like being a slave of sin. I'm not going to remember what I am. You know what? I'm just trying to handle sin. You know, I don't even want to handle it. This is what's so bad, guys. Sometimes I look at that sin and I go, I don't even want to give in to God. I want to give into it. It's sad, but I do it. And in that moment, you guys, now I'm off of the victory cycle. How can I get back on it? That's what plan B is for. See, it's the backup plan. It's the plan okay, I sin. Now what do? Confess that sin. My relationship is restored. But don't stay on plan B. Go back on plan A. Make sense? Get back on plan A. This is what I found, you guys, in the Christian life. I don't know. For some of you, it'll be a lot faster. For some of you, you know, some of you right now, you're going, oh my goodness, oh, like the light is turned on. You're like, oh my goodness. And you're going to go home and you're going to find yourself living way more in victory than you ever have before because you got it now. Because you've been trying to fight sin on your own. You're realizing that's not the plan. And you're realizing, and you're going to go, wow, this is incredible. And you're going to have a lot of victory. Probably for most of us though, we have such a habit of what we've been doing that it's probably going to be a lot on the forgiveness cycle and a little bit on the victory cycle at first. And that, guys, I want to tell you guys something. That's okay. It's okay. I found myself, when I finally realized there was a victory cycle, I didn't know there was one. When I found out there was a victory cycle, the first year, I was on that victory cycle 2% of the time. And 98% of the time, I was on the forgiveness cycle. Thank God for the forgiveness cycle. But you know what? I wasn't on it 100% of the time anymore. You know what happened after about 5 years? I was on the victory cycle 25% of the time. I was starting to learn and started remembering. And every time I failed, I kind of went back in my mind and said, where did I fail at? Did I fail at not remembering what I was? Did I fail at not giving myself to God? Okay, I got it. And I just kept learning. And I was on the victory cycle 25% of the time and on the forgiveness cycle 75% of the time. And you guys, then suddenly happened one year, suddenly something happened. I was on the victory cycle 51% of the time and I was on the forgiveness cycle 49% of the time. I was having victory exactly way more than I was having to get back on that cycle. And as you keep on growing, you guys, that I think is the Christian growth. Just do this, you guys. Would you just, if you're looking at your life and saying, am I growing? Just do this. Now that you know both cycles, at the end of the year go, am I on the victory cycle more this year than I was last year? Even if it's 1% more, 5% more. Just keep asking yourself, am I on it a little bit more? Am I learning a little bit more how to live on this victory cycle? I wish that Saul would have got that. Saul didn't even want to be on plan B, right? He didn't even want to be on that. But you guys, we know better. And I hope when you go home, you guys, with these two things, just keep going over. Memorize these cycles. Memorize it. Put it into practice. And see what happens, you guys. I guarantee if you're honest about it, you will find yourself on the victory cycle a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And you're going to keep giving all the glory to God. You're going to keep saying, God, I can't believe what you're doing in my life. Thank you. Let me pray for us, okay? Lord, thank you for another time just tonight to be able to just go over hopefully something practical that I know you taught me, God, and it really helped me. I hope it helps some students here. That when we go home, God, now that we know that there's a victory cycle, not just a confession cycle, forgiveness cycle, God, that we would start trusting you. Not only being thankful that you forgive us, but being thankful that you've changed us, you live within us, and we can continue to submit to you when we face sin, and you can have victory through us. Oh God, when that happens, we give all the glory to you. It's all you, and it's all your Son, in whose name we pray, amen.